All right, Daniel chapter 3 is our text. So turn there if you have a Bible. And we're looking at a man of God from the Old Testament who was a man of prayer. Sometimes we sing about Daniel was a man of prayer. Daily prayed he 3 times. And then the story is one day he got cast in a den of lions for that prayer. But it was important. And, you know, I think it was Daniel, men like Daniel, that brought about a great repentance, a turning back to God by people that were in captivity, Jewish people that were in captivity. It was hard for Daniel because he was taken away from his home. He was taken away from his people, from his Jerusalem, from the city that where they would worship God, all these things. He was taken away and had to live with people in a strange land who spoke a different language. And he had to learn there. But, you know, the thing that we find about Daniel is he was faithful to God, and God took care of him, watched over him. That's what I pray for you young people, you children, that you will be faithful to God, you'll believe in his word, and that you'll grow strong in the Lord and not compromise. I want to just review a little bit on chapter 2 because we haven't had this lesson for a couple months. How many of you remember when we did the last time in Daniel? It seems like it was about 2 or 3 months ago. So let's just go through it real quick and we'll see what you can remember. I might ask a few questions, okay? So let's just see here if I can get this to go. Okay, it's on, Michael, but it's not active. Is that bad battery, do you think? Okay. Okay. Thank you. All right, so how many of you remember King Nebuchadnezzar? How many of you think you could spell it without looking? Oh, man, it's hard for me. But he was a Babylonian king. And that would be modern-day Iraq. How many of you have heard of Iraq? Iran, Iraq, they're kind of in that same area. All right, he was an ancient king from long ago. And he may have been the richest king, maybe Solomon, maybe Nebuchadnezzar, of the ancient world. And but anyway, he had a dream. And in his dream, he saw this image. And do you remember us talking about that a little bit? Okay. And but in his dream, it troubled him. He, you ever have a bad dream? And you've kind of, you know, we used to talk about it. And he could not sleep. And so what did this king see in his dream? Anybody want to describe? Saraya?
This, statue.
Yeah.
Was, made of bronze and gold.
Yep, bronze, gold, silver, and the bottom of it was clay mixed with bronze. Yeah, and you can see there the head of gold, the middle part of silver, and then bronze and clay in the feet. All right, did he tell his wise men what he saw in the dream? How many remember? Lucas, do you remember? No, he did not tell. He had a plan. He wanted to know what the dream meant. But he thought, if I tell them the dream, then they'll guess and give me some reason, perhaps. He knew that he could have confidence that they could tell him what it meant if they could also tell him the dream. Pretty smart king, wasn't he? Okay. So the king gave the command and called the wise men to tell the king his dreams and the interpretation of what the dream meant. And we've already answered that. The wise men could not tell him, what his dream was. By the way, what is interpretation? Nebuchadnezzar wanted the dream interpreted. But do you want to explain, Abby? Yeah.
Like, what it meant?
Yeah, it basically just means what these dreams, sometimes dreams have meanings and sometimes they don't. But if a dream is from God, especially in that time, in that place, God had a reason for the dream. All right, let's move on. So the wise men said to the king, "There is not a man on earth who can tell the king's dreams. Therefore, no king, lord, or ruler has ever asked such a thing of the wise men. It is a difficult thing the king requests, and there is no one who can tell it to the king except the gods, whose dwelling is not with us." By the way, the Babylonians were people who believed in many gods. You remember, maybe some of you heard that about the Egyptians. Some of these ancient kingdoms, they didn't know the one true God, and so they had beliefs in many gods. But even these wise men knew that this was something that was way beyond them, over their head. They would not be able to tell this. Well, King Nebuchadnezzar was very suspicious of his wise men. And so for this reason, he became furious, very furious, angry, and gave the command to destroy all the wise men of Babylon. Do you remember this from our last lesson? Okay, so the decree, that would be like a law, went out and they began killing the wise men. Boy, in those days, the king could practically do anything, couldn't he? If you blinked wrong, he could kill you. And so the wise men were in trouble. And they looked for Daniel and his companions to kill them. Did you know Daniel and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? They were part of the wise men that counseled the king. So with wisdom, Daniel answered the captain of the king's guard who had gone out to kill the wise men of Babylon. And he said to the king's captain, "Why is the decree or the law from the king so urgent? Why does it have to happen immediately?" And Arioch, he was the king's captain, made the decision known to Daniel. And so Daniel went in and to the king to give him time that he might tell the king the interpretation. Why do you think Daniel needed time? What do you think, Saria? I don't know if you could hear that, but she answered correctly, so that he could pray. This was something that only God could answer. And so Daniel went to his house, and he made the decision known to Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Who are they? Who are those three? Saria? Yeah, they had two names. You see, this was their real name from Israel, their Hebrew names. But King Nebuchadnezzar had given them the new names of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, which were named after their gods. Which names do you think that the three young men and Daniel preferred? What do you think? Absolutely. So he sought his friends out that they might seek the mercies of God, of the God of heaven, concerning this secret, so that Daniel and his companions, his friends, might not die with the rest of the wise men of Babylon. So they, all four of them became urgent in their prayer. So the secret was revealed to Daniel from God in a night vision. So Daniel blessed the God of heaven. When God answers your prayer, do you remember to thank him and bless him? Sometimes we're really good on the asking side and kind of forgetful on the thankful side, aren't we? But Daniel remembered to bless the Lord for giving him the secret and for saving his life, right? And his friends' lives. Okay, so let's move on. And so Daniel is brought right away by Arioch into the presence of the king. And the king was very interested. You see, the king knew what he dreamed. He knew. And now he was going to see if Daniel knew what he knew. And Daniel told him exactly what he had dreamed about this great image of the head of gold and the shoulders and arms of silver and the torso of bronze and then the legs and feet of iron and clay. And he explained to him that these were going to be kingdoms and that King Nebuchadnezzar was the head of gold And then another kingdom would follow that was not as valuable or as wealthy. That would be the Medo-Persian kingdom. And then another kingdom, the Greco kingdom of Greece, where they would be another powerful world power that would rule and reign over the earth. But they would be inferior again, or not as great. And then a fourth powerful, dreadful, scary kingdom that would follow that many believe was the Roman Empire, represented by the legs of iron that would crush. But King Nebuchadnezzar was represented by God in this dream as the head of gold. Wouldn't that be nice to be the head of gold? I think probably Nebuchadnezzar smiled as he thought about that, don't you think? I am the head of gold. And he just, oh boy, that was great news to him. But then Daniel said something that the king quickly forgot. The God of heaven will set up a kingdom that will never be destroyed. And it wasn't Babylonia. God's kingdom will crush all those kingdoms and bring them to an end. But it will itself continue forever. So God's kingdom would be much different, wouldn't you say, Elijah? Hey, Elijah, how long would God's kingdom last? God, listen, I might ask Ian. Forever, that's right, forever. How long, Elijah? You got it. There you go. Forever. And what would happen to those other kingdoms, like the head of gold and those other ones that I mentioned? Ian? Yeah, they would end. Aaron, is that about what you were going to say? Good, good. All right. So God told Nebuchadnezzar through Daniel what would happen in the future. You see, God knows everything, doesn't he? He knows what's going to happen in your life 10 days from now, a year from now, 20 years from now. God knows everything. And God is infinite. That means he has all knowledge. All right, let's move on. So Nebuchadnezzar, he was thinking about this, and now we come to chapter 3. So let's just ask a couple questions about this king. The sin of the king is what we're going to talk about. How would you describe the look on his face? How would you describe that look there? Okay, Abby?
Smug.
What?
Smug.
Smug, yes. What does smug mean? Aaron, what is that? What would you say?
Prideful.
Prideful, yeah, yeah. Nolan, you have a thought on that? How does he look to you? What?
It looks like he's kind of smiling.
Smiling, yeah. Kind of enjoying himself, thinking about how great he's going to be as this king of gold. Yeah, he forgot about the other part that God will judge, right? And so he's thinking about this. And what sin do you think he's thinking about doing? Do you know? Do you know, Saria?
To bow down to his image.
Yeah. Elijah, do you want to say something? What's that? Well, that's right. He really wanted to, except that we're going to find out that God protected some people, right? All right, so the Bible tells us exactly what he was thinking about and what he would do. So Nebuchadnezzar, this is verse 1 if you want to follow in your Bible. Nebuchadnezzar the king made an idol of gold whose height was 90 feet. That would be like 9 stories high and 9 feet wide. That would be, I'm sure, from here over to Ian. 9 feet wide. 90 feet high. Do you know there's not a single building in Chippewa Falls or Eau Claire that is that tall? Taller than the telephone poles. Taller than Mark, Mr. Mark back there. Taller than Corey, Michael. Way tall. And this was going to be a huge undertaking. And what were they going to make this out of? What material? Hannah, I mean Elsa, I'm sorry, Elsa, I get you girls, I'm sorry. Tell me.
Gold.
Gold, yes, thank you, thank you. You probably had to tell me twice. All right, he set it up in the field of Dura in the province of Babylon. This was going to be a wide open space. Oh man, this was going to make Nebuchadnezzar feel really important. And so he put this image up. He had the artisans and his people make this thing. And I was just wanting to have you look closely. What does this big idol or image look like? What do you think, Denim? Maybe like God, yeah? What do you think? A God? Okay, what do you think?
Nebuchadnezzar.
I was wondering about that too. I was looking at the face, the beard, and the hat. I kind of wonder. What do you think, Elijah?
Satan.
Ooh, yeah, it was satanic. And, you know, I wondered about, could this image look a little bit like the dream that he had, do you think, possibly? All right, well, we're not really sure. But this image represented something. And representing, that's a big word. This was supposed to be, you know, something that Nebuchadnezzar was giving of himself. It was his own kingdom, and he wanted this great golden kingdom that would give him lots of glory. Denim? Yeah. And so I wouldn't be at all surprised if this was a god that he made, a false god of himself. You know, some people have idols that they worship, like Buddha and statues and of different things, you know. Some people, their idol is themselves. And that's what I think was going on with King Nebuchadnezzar. That's just my opinion. All right, so let's move on. King Nebuchadnezzar sent word to gather all the leaders of the land, all the important people of the land, the judges and the governors and all the counselors, everybody that was important in the land. They had to come to the dedication of the idol which King Nebuchadnezzar had set up. Ever hear of that word dedication? Sometimes if they build a new school, they'll have a dedication ceremony. And they'll cut a ribbon, and they'll invite all kinds of people, and photographers will take a picture and put it in the newspaper. This was a big deal, big promotional. And so that's what he was doing, was promoting his great idol. So all the leaders of the kingdom gathered together for the dedication of the idol that King Nebuchadnezzar had set up, and they stood before the king that Nebuchadnezzar had set up, before the image that Nebuchadnezzar had set up. So there they are, they're gathering, probably thousands of people in this big plain of Dura. So we already talked about a little bit who this image was. Why do you think King Nebuchadnezzar set this up, Aaron?
He set it up because he wanted to look great.
Yep, he was an ambitious. You ever hear that word? He had big plans. He wanted a world power kingdom. He wanted to be famous. And so he thought, well, we've got the military, we've got the army, we've got great strength, but something we don't have. All these people have all these different religions. How annoying. One person believes in this god, another person believes in many gods. He said, what we need to have is one religion. One religion where we're all together. And what better religion than to worship me? He said, I will be the famous one. I will be like, later on we're going to find out that he thought he was greater than all the gods. Including the one we worship. He was very mixed up. Yep. When a person is full of ambition, there's all kinds of evil connected with that. So he was trying to unify or bring the whole kingdom together under himself with religion. All right, so let's read on. Then a herald, by the way, a herald is like an announcer. They probably had a horn. They would blow the horn to get everybody's attention, then they would tell them the king's message. And so the herald commanded, or brought the message, you are commanded, O peoples, nations, and languages, that at the time you hear the sound of the horn, flute, harp, stringed instruments in symphony, with all kinds of music, you shall fall down and worship the gold image that King Nebuchadnezzar has set up. A symphony. Oh, that is when all the musical instruments come together in a beautiful way. Beautiful music. How nice. Just think of it. There they all are out in the field looking at this beautiful gold image, probably a nice blue, sunny, sunshiny day, and beautiful music, and all we have to do is bow down to the king's image. Doesn't that sound like a great idea? No. No, not at all. Not for someone who loves the Lord. But for these people who didn't really care, they probably did. In fact, the Bible tells us that they all did, except for four people, right? So the herald said, "And whoever does not fall down and worship shall be cast immediately into the midst of a burning fiery furnace." So at that time, when all the people heard the sound of the horn, flute, harp, lyre, in symphony with all kinds of music, all the peoples, nations, and languages fell down and worshiped the gold image which King Nebuchadnezzar had set up. Their religion and their gods must not have been very important to them, that they were willing to give them up so quick, were they? They gave up their religion and their gods because they were afraid of the king's command. Are we ever afraid to mention the Lord Jesus as my Savior? Or are we willing to stand up and say, I love him, I believe in him, I trust in him? Well, they gave it up and they bowed down, sadly, to this false god. Anyway, at that time, certain Chaldeans, this would be Babylonians, came forward and accused the Jews. They said to King Nebuchadnezzar, O king, live forever. You, O king, have made a decree or a law that everyone who hears the sound of the music shall fall down and worship the gold image. And whoever does not fall down and worship shall be cast into the midst of the fiery furnace. Okay. So how was the faith of many tested here by the king's command? What would really test? Go ahead, Ab. Go ahead, Eliana, yes. Exactly. They had to choose, didn't they? If they would decide to choose to follow God's way or the king's way. It wasn't an easy choice because their life was at stake, wasn't it? But these men came, and I think they were like what we would call a tattletale, wouldn't you say? And they came to the king, and here's what they tattled on. They said, there are certain Jews whom you have put in charge of the province of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These men, O king, have not respected you. They do not serve your gods or worship the gold image which you have set up. All right, why do you think, you guys and girls, why do you think that those three Hebrews did not bow down and worship the golden idol? Aaron, what do you think? All right. Is that what you were going to say, Elijah?
No.
Go ahead. Okay, good answer. And Ian, how about you? What do you want to say? Same thing. Good. Good answers. All right. Excellent. So, yeah, they passed the test, didn't they? And so Nebuchadnezzar was furious. Oh, he probably burst the blood vessel. He was so angry. His face probably got red, started sweating, and shouted at them. And then he said, his face changed the way it looked. So were these Hebrew men in danger? Yeah, they were in great danger. Nebuchadnezzar said to them, is it true, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that you do not serve my gods or worship the gold image which I have set up? Then he said, before they answered, now if you're ready, when you hear the music, the sound of the music, you must fall down and worship the idol which I have made. If you do that, good. So the king was giving these three men of God a second chance. Was that a good thing?
Yeah.
Kind of yes and kind of no, right? Yeah, good answer. All right. But if you do not worship, you shall be cast immediately into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. And who is the God who will save you from my hands? Wow. What a thing to say. Why did the king say there was no God who could save them if they did not worship his gold idol? Why? Why would he say such a thing? What do you think, Saria?
Because he was proud.
He was a proud man. Yep. Is that what you were going to say, Elijah? Well, you got another thought? Okay. What?
I was going to say that God could save them
yep.
by making the fire so it's
not really hot. Yes, I agree with you. Yes. Abby? He was really a mixed up king, wasn't he? He had a lot to learn, and God was going to teach him some things in a way that he would never forget. Ian, do you want to say something too? It was, why did the king think that there was no God that could save Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego from him?
Because he was being too proud, and
yep.
he did not
think
about Jesus, and he thought that
yep.
he was supposed to be from God, maybe?
Probably, yep. Very good. Let's move on. So Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, "What do you think they were shaking a little bit when they were ready to answer? Maybe a little bit? They said this, O Nebuchadnezzar, if this is the case, if that is the case, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace. He is able, and he will deliver us from your hand, O king. But if not, let it be known to you, O king, that we do not serve your gods, nor we will not worship the gold image which you have set up. Now, I said it loud enough so you would all hear, but I think they said it very respectfully. But this was something they could not obey. And the question is, sometimes when somebody who is in charge tells us to do something that is wrong against God, should we obey that? Nope. And they knew it. They couldn't. They could not bow down to a false god. And so they explained that to the king very well. And I think we've already answered this. God could save them, right? We know God could save them. But even if he didn't, they were not going to bow down. But God can save. And sometimes God chooses to save us from troubles, and sometimes he allows us to go through troubles, right? But he's still God. All right. So in this case, though, it's pretty exciting what God did. Nebuchadnezzar, once again, was full of fury, and the expression of his face changed. He does not look like a happy man, does he? And he spoke and commanded that they heat the furnace seven times more than it was usually heated. Whoa. I can't imagine how hot that was. Seven times hotter. We have a wood stove at home, and sometimes when that thing really gets hot, Michael probably knows this, it will actually start to glow a little bit of a red on the outside of the metal. Well, this furnace, seven times hotter, must have really been hot. Do you think Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego would change their mind? Nope. They were determined to serve God no matter what, at any price. And the king commanded certain mighty men, strong men, mighty men of valor who were in his army to bind up or tie up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and cast them into the burning fiery furnace. Then these men were bound in their coats, their trousers, their turbans, and their other garments. These are old-fashioned clothes that they wore. They were tied up and were cast into the midst or the middle of the burning fiery furnace. Therefore, because the king's command was urgent, and they had to do it quickly, and the furnace was exceedingly hot, very, very, very hot, the flame of the fire killed those men who took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Those strong soldiers, they died. It was so hot. They weren't in the fire. They were just near the fire, and they died from the heat. That's how hot it was. And these three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell down bound into the middle of the burning fiery furnace. Then King Nebuchadnezzar was astonished, amazed, and he arose in haste and spoke, saying to his counselors, "Did we not cast three men bound into the middle of the fire?" And they answered and said to the king, "True, O king." "Look," the king answered, "I see four men loose, walking in the middle of the fire, and they are not hurt, and the form of the fourth is like the Son of God." Wow, what a day this was. What a wonderful day this was. Why did the fire not hurt God's three faithful men? Lucas, why not? God was in the fire. Yep, it was a miracle. It was. Abby? He had a plan. Nola, do you want to say something? Because they were brave and they were not willing to bow down. Yep, God honored that, didn't he? Ian? Yeah, yeah. Well, it was really... Saraya? Okay. Very good. Lots of good answers, you guys. Excellent answers. Okay. Well, then Nebuchadnezzar went near the mouth of the burning fiery furnace and spoke, saying, "Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, servants of the Most High God, come out and come here." Then Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came from the midst of the fire. I don't think a king ever talked to somebody in a fire like that before, do you? And had a conversation with them. But they were there, and the king was witnessing this whole thing. So how did the king describe God in a different way than before? What did he call God? What did he call God? Denim? The Most High God. You see, he still believed in many gods, but now he had a different opinion. God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego was the Most High God. He was a greater God. So this king is learning something, but he has more to learn yet, doesn't he? He has to learn that there's only one God. But he wasn't quite there yet. So the king's counselors, the leaders, they gathered together, and they saw these men on whom the fire had no power. And the hair of their head was not singed. You ever have your hair singed? If you get too close to a campfire, sometimes it'll curl up and kind of burn a little bit if you get too close. That never happened to you? Oh, well, they didn't have it either. There was not one hair singed. And their garments, their clothing was not affected. In fact, the smell of the fire was not even on them. If you've ever been outside by a campfire, people know it, don't they? You come in the house, oh, yeah, I can smell the campfire on you. But they didn't even smell like fire. This was a total miracle, wasn't it? What a wonderful thing. So Nebuchadnezzar spoke, saying, "Blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and who sent his angel and delivered his servants who trusted in him. And they have frustrated the king's word and given their bodies that they should not serve nor worship any god except their own god. This might have been the first time that Nebuchadnezzar ever had somebody disobey his command and frustrate him and get him all upset, and that the king was still glad and happy to have them in his kingdom. Might have been the first time, because he was learning something about the God of these three men. And isn't that the way it should be with us, you guys? Shouldn't we be good representatives? That's a big word. Shouldn't we be really good showing who is our God and be willing to speak for him? Yep, Denim. Oh, no way. But I'm not sure why Daniel wasn't there. The only thing I can think of maybe is that he was on an important mission somewhere because he had a leadership position. I don't know. But I know Daniel wouldn't have bowed. Okay. So he blessed the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego because they trusted in him. Because God was... they had their faith in God. So not only did the king call God the Most High God, he learned something, that people who trust in him are protected by him. Okay? Therefore, the king said, I make a decree, make a law, that any people, nation, or language which speaks anything against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego shall be cut in pieces. Ooh. And their houses shall be made an ash heap. In other words, they would have to burn their house down if they said anything against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, because there is no other God who can deliver like this. So the king promoted Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the province of Babylon. They actually got a promotion. They were considered wise men, but now they had leadership position. Isn't it amazing how God can turn things around? God is great. He rules over the kings. He can change the heart of a king. We really have a wonderful God, don't we? He is great. He is an awesome king over all the kings. He's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. So we're going to pray now. You guys have been good listeners. Oh, by the way, I thought you might like to see this. What did you learn about what it means to be a true servant of God? Do you see, some of you see yourself up there? I would have had you all in, but I couldn't find one with everybody. So, but what did you learn today? Can you tell me, Saray, what did you learn? Good. Worship the one true God. Anybody else have something they learned? Okay, Elijah.
That we don't trust in different people because they might kill you.
Yeah, our trust is not in man. Our trust is in God, right? Aaron? No matter what, at any price, right? Yeah. Ian? Yep. Do you think we might be tested someday? Think it's possible? Yep. It's that God talks about a time of testing that will come into your life. But if you trust in God's word, and God's word is in your heart and in your mind, it will strengthen you to stand in the evil day. So may the Lord help us all, right, to be strong in the evil day and not bow our knee to false lies and false gods. Okay, let's pray. Father, we thank you for this lesson from your word, teaching us the importance of being faithful to you and how faithful you are to protect your people and watch over your people. We thank you, Lord, for being such a great God and such a great King, and that you know everything that's happening in our lives, and that you are at work leading us to a greater knowledge of you. And Lord, I pray that we would love you like these three Hebrew servants loved you. So we commit these children and young people, to you, all of us, in Jesus' name, amen. Okay.